like to acknowledge my co-authors, Jeffrey Willers and Johnny Jenkins, were all with the USDA ARS Genetics and Precision Agriculture Research Unit located in Mississippi State. What I'd like to report to you today is a study that we did on the Paul Good Farm. It's located in Noxubee County, which is about 40 miles southeast of Starkville, Mississippi, and where we're located. And the field that we show here of interest is 160 acre field that's outlined in gray on the screen. The study that we did was based on 5 years of crop data, and this grower does a cotton corn rotation, and we have 5 years of year monitor data. The hypothesis that we were trying to test was, can we create a yield stability map from this type of data that the grower can use to determine if there are areas of stability in the field where you can discern the high, medium, and low areas so that you can take appropriate actions from a grower standpoint. And this area is non-irrigated, it uses natural rainfall. Started in cotton in 2001, and you can see from the map, from the red, the low yield areas, to the dark blue, the high yield areas. And we proceed through a corn year in 2002, and cotton back again in 2003, and cotton in 2004. And then wind up with corn in 2005. And through all of these maps, there's a lot of different information there, but not readily discernible whether you can detect visually these areas of potential area of stability. So we had this area flown via aircraft with a high-resolution LIDAR camera, and the LIDAR map that was produced had 0.5 meter resolution, and as delivered to us from Mississippi State University, we had a 1 meter resolution map that was averaged up to degraded to 1 meter, and this is the elevation map shown here, derived from the LIDAR, and it ranges from a low of 62.25 meters above sea level to a little over 70 meters above sea level. And you can see from the screen that there is a drainage area in the field that drains to the southeast. From the LIDAR map, we also created an aspect map that shows the view of the field, whether it can see the sun, what time of day the sun is prevalent over the area of the field. A curvature map where a negative value represents concave up and a positive value concave down, and then a slope map ranging from the red, dark red, to very flat area to the blue, which is about a 9-10 degrees. But that's only the severe slope was only in this drainage area of the field shown here. Basically used three different software packages to produce this map here. I need to go through the procedure of how we did that. I first tried IDW, the inverse weighted distance for creating a surface map for the yield monitor data. I also used nearest neighbor, and I used a simple kriging, and the simple kriging proved to be give the better results, especially when I went to analyzing it with the SAS to doing some statistical analysis to create a yield as related to elevation, aspect, curvature, and slope, simple x and x squared SAS regression. And the way that the yield monitor came out was we had to choose a 3 meter by 3 meter squared pixel size. We then degraded the 1 meter squared LiDAR map to a 3 meter by 3 meter squared to so that it could line up so you could do the regression properly. These maps were transferred into ERDOS Imagine, and so that we could perfectly align each pixel cell so you could do the proper analysis that you were comparing, doing the stat analysis on each cell that was perfectly in alignment, the centroid of each cell. From the ERDOS Imagine, we exported that into a SAS, and did a first run statistical analysis on that, and without anything else, and we got very low R squared results. So we said, well, there's got to be some relationship here. So we went to using a fast cluster algorithm to cluster the yield points as related to the elevation, aspect, curvature, and slope. And then when we did the statistical analysis, we got much, much improved R-squared values. And what we chose was 20 different clusters, as you can see from the map here. And one of the reasons to do that is to show how you transition from one area to another, and it shows the fine lines of transitions from this. And then you go back to the yield maps, and you can relate the yield in that area to the yields in that area from cotton or corn. The next step was to see if we could improve the goodness of fit, or the explanation of variability, rather. And we had some various data for this field that was collected in fall of 2005, I believe that's correct. And we had both the shallow values and the depth, various values at depth, as shown in these two maps here. We added these values to the table, and from the total pixels that were in the analysis, there's about 62,000 data points that were conducted in the analysis. So we produce this map here. Again, there's 20 clusters, and you can see from here that what we produce. Okay, the statistical procedure and total procedure is outlined here in this flow chart that's in the paper that's in the proceedings. And I won't try to go through this here. Probably most of you can't read it, but it's in the proceedings if you're interested. The final step was to look at the clusters by yield, and Here we have, on the upper part of this chart here, we have the higher yields, and you have the medium yields and the low yields, and there's a little fair demarcation between the high, medium, and low, more so in the low. And I'm sure that we could develop a statistical means to do this, but I just did it by eye in this case. And you can see the number of observations that went into this. And from this right here, I converted this into a three cluster map. All of the clusters in the high went into cluster one, cluster two in this area, and cluster three, and produced this map here, which is probably what you'd want to deliver to a grower. He doesn't want to see all those 20 different yield areas, but this shows the number one, the high yielding areas in green, the medium yielding areas in yellow, and the low yielding areas in red. And the final proof of this was showing this to the grower, and he said, "Oh yeah, I can relate to that. That's about what we get in those areas." But how well defined that area was much more so prevalent than this map. Okay, when we added the this is the R-square values for before the mean R-square values for before we added the various data, and this is after the various data was added, and there is a fairly large percentage increase, ranging from 17% to almost 30% increase in R-square value by adding that the various data to the regression. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Any questions? Okay, appreciate it, sir.